This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ قال إبراهيم لأبيه آزر أتتخذ أصناما آلهة إني أراك وقومك في ضلال مبين. وكذلك نري إبراهيم ملكوت السماوات والأرض وليكون من الموقنين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. فالحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, once again everyone, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Today is our second installation of the conversations we're going to have about Ibrahim عليه السلام, and I want to start us off with what Allah tells us about him in Surah Al-An'am. My plan over the course of the month is to go through different places in the Quran and pay attention to everything Allah has told us about him, so we can learn about him in his own words, like let Allah introduce us to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So here, the way Allah introduced us in Surah Al-An'am, he started by telling us something about him, the conversation he had with his father and his nation. He says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ آزَرَ, when Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his father, Azar. Before going on, you should know that some scholars, they have a problem accepting that Azar could be his father. So they say that was his uncle. And the reason they have a problem accepting that, the different kinds of rationales that have been offered basically boil down to one thing: how can a prophet be the son of an idol worshiper? Or it's an insult to a prophet to be, you know, the son of an idol worshiper, etc. That's not a very founded argument. Allah has tested prophets with family all the time. Allah Azza wa Jalla has tested Yaqub alayhi salam with his children. Allah has tested Nuh alayhi salam with his wife. Allah has tested Lut alayhi salam with his wife. Allah has tested Nuh alayhi salam with his son. And so, unlike the biblical logic, which is, you know, we are inherently sinful and then sin is passed down from Adam. Adam is sinful and we inherit the sins of our father. So human beings are born into sin. That's not the way Muslims see things. That's not the way the Quran exposes human nature. Allah says about human nature, we are born ala al-fitra. The Prophet tells us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. Every newborn is born in the nature that Allah Azza wa Jal created, which Allah describes as فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها. The nature that Allah created, that he molded people on, which is inherently good. Other places in the Quran will refer to this goodness as light itself. We have a light inside of us. There's a goodness inside of us. And there's a goodness, it doesn't have to do with who your genes are. Like where you come, you could come from a Hindu family and have goodness. You can come from an atheist family and have goodness. It has nothing to do with who your father was or mother was. In fact, everybody has a unique start. Everybody, the ruh was poured into them from, you know, from the creation of Allah, and that ruh has goodness in it. This is why it doesn't matter if a person is Fir'aun, even he, لَعَلَّهُ يَذَّكَّرْ أَوْ أَنْ يَخْشَى, even he can take benefit of a reminder. Maybe he'll become a fearful person too. Every single person has potential. There's no such thing as a cursed nation, or a cursed people, or a cursed set of genes. People say things casually like our family's cursed, or this or that. There's no such thing in our religion. In our deen, every human being is an individual. كُلُّهُمْ أَتِيهِ وَكُلُّ أَتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْضًا. Everybody will come before Allah individual, alone. You're not going to be judged on what family you came from, or what your parents did, or what anybody else did. And in fact, the entire legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam is about that singular responsibility. So it kind of undoes that if we get uncomfortable that his father was an idol worshiper, or as the story is told by different, you know, sources, a maker of idols in his village. In any case, the Quran's language is abihi. When Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his father, Azar, and then Allah mentions his name by name, Azar. أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا آلِهَةً. Are you really taking idols, statues as gods? إِنِّي أَرَاكَ وَقَوْمَكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. I see you and I see your entire nation as people that are lost in obvious confusion, obviously lost. I see you people as totally and absolutely clearly lost. So he criticizes his father and he criticizes his father's entire nation. Now this is the introduction we're getting in Surah Al-An'am, one of the earlier surahs of the Quran. We're getting an introduction to the kind of person Ibrahim alayhi salam was. What is he doing that's so revolutionary? First of all, in ancient societies, there were different kinds of authority, right? And the authority came from the family. Now, after, you know, in this postmodern world, we're living in a, in many societies, we're so hyper-individualistic, like European society, American society, Australian society. We've become so hyper-individualistic, living in big cities. People leave their family from the village or the small town and they move to a bigger city to get a job, or they leave the country and get a job. So they're on their own. Their dad, they're not, dad's not checking on whether they prayed or not, or whether they ate or not, or what they, who their friends are. They have an individual, independent life, right? And the hierarchy of the family, which was based on when you, when your father speaks to you, say, yes, father, yes, sir, etc. Even in non-Muslim cultures, that started disappearing, right? So we don't really see the authority of the parental figure the way that it used to be in the ancient world. And the same way, the authority of the village, or the authority of the race, or the authority of the emperor, right? Back in the day, nobody spoke about the emperor in bad words, you know? Not just because if they find out you spoke about them like that, you're going to get killed, but also there was this awe and reverence for the ruler. There was this regard for the king. It was part of your identity that you had that. This is the history of most societies, and actually many societies in the world still have that kind of reverence. Many traditional societies still have that kind of reverence. But even in those societies, you'll notice, for example, if you go to Southeast Asia, for example, or South Asia, or different parts of Africa, you'll find the cities have a different kind of culture, and the village has a different kind of culture, right? And the old world, the ancient world, looked more like the villages than it does the cities. Now, I'm saying all of this as part of my introduction here because it's important. Ibrahim alayhi salam lives in a society where the authority figure is the father. And beyond the father is the village. Those are the two ultimate authority figures. That is not the case here. That is not the case in the United States, for example. That is not the case in Canada, for example. It's a different kind of society. You know, when I first came here in high school, I came from, some of my schooling from, you know, elementary school was in Saudia. So when I came to the United States, first thing I noticed, people were, you know, friends at high school, non-Muslims were saying, yeah, my old man's crazy. I was like, who's your old man? I didn't know the phrase. I didn't know what that meant. Oh, they're referring to their father. That's a common phrase to use for your father. My old man is this or that or the other. And then I had some friends who's like, when I went over to their home and their dad's name is Frank, instead of saying, hey, dad, it's like, yo, Frank, how was your day? And his son is telling his father, yo, Frank, how's your day? That was completely normal, you know? The idea that they don't deserve a kind of reverence is not a crazy idea in some circles. But certainly, even in the United States, there are some very traditional farming society communities and other more traditional families, church values, etc. When you go to those kinds of places, you're going to see, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, dad, yes, father. You're going to see that kind of respect, right? Now, what are we learning from this? What we're learning from this is Ibrahim alayhi salam challenged the highest authority that was there. The highest human authority that was there when they were wrong. He just straight up said, you can't impose that on me. You can't make me do what you're doing. You know, even if you're my dad, even if you're the highest authority, and the authority behind you is your entire village. So inni araka wa qawmaka fi dalalim mubin. So let's impose that on ourselves. Let's first understand this lesson. What am I learning from this ayah today? Right? In our times, there are forces that have replaced the father. It's not like you have no authority over you. You still have an authority over you. It's not like there's no pressure on you. There's still pressure on you and me. And that pressure can come from your university. It can come from your employer. It can come from the larger culture. It can come from, you know, forces in the media or social media, etc. Where if you were to speak out against something, or if you were to take a stand where everybody wants you to accept something as right, and you say, no, I don't accept that that's right, well, you're going to get flamed. You're going to get destroyed by the larger culture that says, how dare you question what we just told you is good? How dare you say that it's not good, right? So you can actually get in trouble with the larger dominant culture or any force of influence because you're saying what is right. And you know what? Back in the day, this is the next comparison I want you to understand. Because a lot of times when people study Quran, they're like, oh, well, people in the old times, they used to worship idols. we're not in those times anymore. You're right. We don't have idols made of wood. We don't have idols made of marble or stone, right? We don't have carvings like that. But you know what we might have? What we have instead? We have conceptual idols. We have philosophies and ideas that have now become unquestionable, and people will give their life to those ideas, and people will destroy anyone who questions those ideas. Well, basically, those ideas and those philosophies and those worldviews have replaced physical idols. In fact, they're much more transportable, right? You don't have to have the physical idol. Now they're concepts in your head. They're concepts that are being imposed on society. And if you question them, well, then you're going to be in big trouble. And how Rasulullah ﷺ would describe shirk as something as subtle as a black ant in the middle of a dark night on a black rock, right? But an idol is pretty shiny. It's golden, colorful, on top of a temple, lit up. It's very obvious. So shirk takes other forms, what scholars would call a shirk al-khafi, the hidden form of shirk. That's what you and I have to be aware of. There are forces at play in our time, like there were forces at play in Ibrahim alayhi salam's time. The thing that was unquestionable was the authority of the idols. But in the thing we have to ask ourselves, in my day and age, in my society, in my culture, in my country, in my nation, in my in the world that I experience, what are the things that are unquestionable that I don't even have a right to question it? And if Allah has taught me otherwise, doesn't matter, I should keep my mouth shut. And if somebody's asking me to be okay with it, I should just go along. This is the first thing Ibrahim alayhi salam defies. He defies authority. He said, you're taking these idols as gods? These are your absolute authority? These are the things, and ilah is an important word. It doesn't just mean God. It actually means someone or something that you adore or love beyond all else. Walah, ilah, the verb aliha actually also means faza'a ilayhi, something you run towards in desperation, something you're clinging on to. Is actually an object of not just worship, but an object of your adoration, your admiration, something you're desperately holding on to. And it's from the degrees of love. One of the words in Arabic for love is walah, which means when you love that, it's like you love nothing else. It's about a love beyond all else, right? And that's embedded inside the meaning of the word ilah. So when these people took these idols as ilah, they love them. They can't see beyond them. That's the ultimate ideal for them. They can't imagine their existence outside of them. And so when you question something that someone's so passionate about, you're definitely going to enrage them. This is not just some casual exchange of ideas. Like, oh, you think that player is better? I think this player is better. You think that car is better? I think this car is better. That's a casual conversation. This is about something that people hold on to for dear life. His father, his society are built. They're building an entire culture, a foundation on these beliefs. They hold them dear, and it's as dear to them as their own identity. They see them as inseparable. And yet, as a young man, he dares to question it. أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا آلِهَةً إِنِّي أَرَاكَ وَقَوْمَكَ فِي From what I can see, I see you and your entire nation clearly lost. You're openly lost. This is actually a very aggressive stance, isn't it? It's a very, very daring stance. Where does the strength for that stance come from? How did he come up with the courage to challenge his society in this way? This is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to answer in this passage. So I'll also inform you of the kind of schedule we're going to have. I'm going to start these durus, like I said, before the Isha prayer. They're going to be short because I want the attention span to be high. We're going to have the Taraweeh prayer on Saturdays only. We're going to have a couple of extra sessions. So we're going to have the Taraweeh prayer come to an end. Those of you who'd like to make the Hajj al-Qiyam al-Layl tonight, you can skip the Witr prayer. I'm going to have another dars, then some salah, then another dars, then some salah up until 1 or 2 in the morning. So that's the plan. And those of you who like to leave and come back, you can leave and come back also. But on Saturdays, because it's an easier day on the weekend, I want to take advantage of some Qiyamul Layl Tahajjud and also some additional reminders. So we'll keep carrying on with this series, inshallah. So in our next installment, what I'm going to talk to you about is what is the source of Ibrahim alayhi salam's courage to be able to do what he did? Because Islam is not just a set of beliefs. It's actually the courage to stand up for those beliefs. The courage to actually question when somebody is challenging those beliefs, or question somebody who's making you surrender to what is against those beliefs. Where do you get that kind of courage? Because the normal tendency for a human being is just agree with everybody, don't stir any trouble. It's going to cause too much of a problem. If you want to fit in, if you just want to have a comfortable life, just be quiet, just play along. It's okay, it'll pass, you know, just keep it safe, right? And that's not the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He had no security, no backing. He's a young, the safest place you have is your own family. And he's actually, by this statement, he is rejecting the security of his own family. In fact, the first threat that came to him came from his father. The first threat was given to him by his father. The place you're supposed to find safety is where he found danger because of what he said, because of what he believed. So we're going to have to explore where this incredible strength is coming from. With that, I'll conclude. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.